God, thank you that there is power in the blood. Thank you, Lord, that we have that eternal living hope, that we can come to this altar, not before a Lord, not before a King, not before just the God of the universe, but Lord, before our own Father. Lord, thank you that we can come to you with that knowledge that you love us, that you care for us, that while we are imperfect, while we are broken, while we are not as we should be, Lord, that you love us just as we are. And you love us too much to let us stay that way. Lord, I pray that you would use this morning not just to answer a big question, but to solve the problem of our hearts. Lord, I pray that this morning your word would come alive to us. Lord, may we rejoice. May we rejoice in who you are. May we find that life-giving fountain that every thirst of our heart is answered in you. That you are our living hope. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. How are we this morning? Good. It's good to see so many of you. Good to see some new faces. Good to see some familiar ones. You know, our world is full of questions, especially during times like these. Questions like, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
Three.
My man. And that question naturally leads to another question. Why do dentists only strike up conversations once you've gotten into the chair? By trying to answer the first question, I've ended up in the dentist chair too many times. And then, why do single stuff Oreos even exist? Who buys them? Man, like the double stuff is so much better. Is there anybody here like, you only like the single stuff? Oh good, we don't have to excommunicate you. Why do we park in driveways but not drive in park and drive in parkways? Why are those names the way they are? I've never figured that one out. Questions like, if you run out of hair product, can you use Gorilla Glue as a substitute? Some questions have already been answered, right? Thank goodness somebody else learned that lesson. We don't have to. And then there's the question of, what is your problem? Sometimes we get that question and it's just this surface, you know, what's wrong with you? But what if that's like a real question? What if that's a question we are really asking? What is our problem? That becomes a much deeper question, doesn't it? And there are some questions that weigh heavier on our souls and dig down to the core of who we are. Big questions. Questions of significance, morality, and purpose. Well, over the past couple of weeks, we've been on a journey into four big questions. We've gotten through three of them. We asked, why is there evil? Why does good God allow evil to exist? And we found that in order for God to glorify himself, which is the ultimate purpose that he has in this world, there has to be evil for us to be able to understand who he really is. Then we asked questions about what is truth. And we found that truth is not just what correlates to what we believe, because you can believe something that's wrong. And it's not even just what correlates to reality, it correlates to the God who authored reality. It correlates to him. Then we asked last week, what is our purpose in life? Well, the ultimate purpose is to reflect God, and that requires an intimate and a right relationship with him. So now we come to this last question, what is the answer for the world's problems? What is the answer for the world's problems? Now, I do have to say this. Some of the problems, in fact, all of the problems have been answered. Much like the question about, can you use Gorilla Glue as a hair product? It's been answered. Don't do it unless you want your hair to be like a helmet for about a month and a half, okay? Some problems have a solution. All problems have been solved. The problem is, we reject the solution. That's where the problems arise. What is the answer for the world's problems? Well, let's look at some of the problems that need to be solved, some of the big ones. What's probably one of the big ones that comes to mind for you? We're interactive here. Come on. Huh? World evangelism? That's a super Christian answer. You oversaved, Dave. No. What about war? Does that come to mind? Like, would that be a big thing? Everybody agrees war is a problem, right? Where we disagree is what's the solution. We've tried pacifism, where you just don't fight and that puts an end to it. All that does is get good people trampled over by bad people. So we've tried force in the war to end all wars, only to have a repeat a couple decades later and several wars since then. It seems inevitable. We've tried negotiations, and that just leads to broken humanity, somebody not living up to the end of their bargain. What's the answer to this one? We've tried all options but one, and we'll talk about that later. What are some other ones you've noticed?
Not enough time.
Not enough time? Resources are limited, just period. No, there's enough time. Everybody's given 24 hours a day. It's just what we do with it, right? What else? I mean, you might think about this. What are people rioting about right now? Racism, social justice, injustice. What was it, Dave? Equality. Yeah. The political parties, politics. What's something that is making a lot of people afraid right now? COVID, disease, period. Disease. We look around at a world that is suffering from a lack of education. The world is being populated faster than people are being educated. As far as disease, we come up with a better cure, a worse disease comes out. It seems like sometimes even the cure is worse than the disease itself. Like, I have to laugh. There was a medication for dry mouth, and one of the side effects was you might die. I'm sorry, I'll live with a dry mouth. I'd rather not. Thank you. What about population growth? This fear that population is growing faster than the resources are being supplied in the world. What about this one? The inconvenient truth. Climate change. Whether you call it global warming. I mean, in the 90s, there was going to be an ice age. Then in the 2000s, it was going to be everybody's in a hot box. Climate change. Let's just call it climate change. And there's this panic about this as well. The weather patterns are changing. If anything, the news of what's going on in Texas tells us one clear thing. We control the climate just as much as our ancestors did. The weathermen can try to predict it. Doesn't change the fact that it's going to happen. We don't change it. What about hunger and malnutrition? Starvation. Annually, 9 million people die from starvation and malnutrition. 9 million every year. You know, there was, everybody know the band U2? Bono? He did this sanctimonious thing where every 3 seconds, he would clap his hands. He said, every time I'm clapping, a child in Africa is starving to death. Every 3 seconds. Till some wisecracker in the audience goes, well then stop clapping your hands, you evil person! The reality is 9 million every year. What about addictions? In the United States, at any given time, just in our country alone, 19.7 million people addicted. Now that's addicted to substances, addicted to pornography, addicted to something. But in some way that they need treatment to get away from it. They are in bondage to this. And we already talked about possibly one of the biggest things. Death. Let's just be honest. If death were not in the picture, almost all the problems we just talked about would not be a problem at all. Right? What are our options? What are our solutions? Well, some world religions, some world views would tell you, just let go of your expectations. And then nothing's a problem. If you don't have an expectation, things simply are the way that they are. Well, we got to go back to the whole truth thing. That truth does matter. And number two, if you're releasing your expectations so that you can have peace, isn't that an expectation of peace? self-defeating? Or is it humanism that we just try better? Look, if you're going to, that's why we start off with, like, God does exist. If God doesn't exist and humanity really has been around for millions of years like we think, like some think we have been, that means we've had millions of years to try to fix this and we haven't done it yet. Maybe our track record would be a whole lot better if that were the answer. See, the problem becomes, it comes from within us. The answer is not going to come from within us. What about this? I love this answer. It was on Quora.com, and this was the answer. The answer. I loved it. I got to share it with you. Get all the scientists, doctors, engineers, put them together with access to supercomputers and the problems we have now. And the goal is, and let the computer tell the truth by factual answers, meaning all types of science and the scientists, all types of doctors, healers, builders, architects, every skill mankind has, and the sociology of mankind. Basically, you know where I'm going with this. And there you go. You didn't hear me drop the mic, but I dropped the mic. In other words, get all the experts together and connect them with all the information, problem solved. Really? You know what the internet is, right? And everybody's an expert in everything. So if that's the solution, we would have already had it. But I think what we've noticed is things have gotten worse steadily. Maybe the answer is not to be found there either. Because here's the thing, even if you have the solutions, you have to have the people, the resources, and people with a heart to carry it out. The people that are willing to do it. We simply aren't. Look, before I dig in, let me say, as a pastor, as a Christian, as a human being, we should do all that we can to alleviate these problems, right? No one here is arguing the opposite. We should do everything in our power to go against war unjustly declared. We should have justice. Every human is created in the image of God and thus of infinite value. Not one person is more valuable than another. We've talked about that many times here as well. As far as disease, yes, we should alleviate that. As far as starving, we should do everything in our power without making the person dependent upon us to help them. All those things we as Christians are called to alleviate, to be part of the answer. But we live in a broken world and it's still tainted by sin, because the major problems in the world today, as I've already said, they've already been solved. The answer is found in one person, Jesus Christ. The answer is found in the person Jesus Christ. Jesus is the eternal solution to our temporary problems. See, the problem comes because we have rejected the answer. So, Jesus says this, "I am the way and the truth and life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Coming to the Father is the answer to all the world's problems. That's what we talked about last week, purpose being our connection to Him. You connect to Him, all the other problems dissolve. And Jesus says, the only way you're going to get there is through me. I am the answer. Jesus is the answer to the problems of the world. Experience tells us that the world is broken. It's in need of repair. And sometimes its brokenness is so obvious. Jesus is the answer. He has a plan to fix this broken world. There is not a problem in the world that is not solved in the Word. John 1 talks about Jesus being the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the answer to whatever problem our world is facing and you individually. Let's look at some of those ones that we talked about. War. We have a problem of war. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. World peace is proven elusive in our war-torn world, but one day Jesus will set all things right and the Prince of Peace will rule in true justice, ushering in a time of blessing and bounty the world has never seen. He will put an end to all wars as He unites things under Himself. Micah 4:3 says this, "He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for the strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks." Can you imagine that? Not a single weapon. Let me ask you, the constitutional rights are constitutional rights, But there's going to be no more need for the Second Amendment. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen? I love shooting. Everyone has the right to self-defense, but my goodness, I can't wait for the day that we don't have any need for a weapon other than, well, who knows, maybe having fun. But then he doesn't just stop there. He says, nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. There's not even going to be martial arts. Nobody's going to be learning how to make war or how to harm one another. It's going to be done away with. Because everybody's going to go, well, let's just let Jesus settle it. No more argument, no more debate, no more competition. It's all united in him. He's the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 7, 5 through 7 says this, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This is a passage we often think of as Christmas, but it's coming for a day ahead. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Notice how he rules there. It's not Prince of Power, it's Prince of Peace. That is his power that unites all. There will no more be war on the face of the earth. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. From that time forth and forevermore, there will be peace. Because the ruler of the world won't be one single broken, flawed human being. It will be the perfect God, the perfect government. Jesus is the answer to our broken relationships with each other. See, we see this showing up today. We mentioned it earlier, racism. You know, one of the things Jesus did was break down the walls of racism when he died. There was staunch racism between Jews and what they called the Gentiles. Anybody that wasn't a Jew, they looked down on. And when Jesus died, Paul tells us in Ephesians that he broke down the dividing wall of hostility between those two, thus making the two into one. In God's eyes, there's only one form of humanity. That's why there is peace, because he sees all humanity as one, which we've talked about before. But he unites in peace. We want to have peace in this world. Only when we have the peace of the Word will we have peace in the world. Okay, so there's war. What about injustice? Inequality. Isaiah 11, 3 through 5 says this, and his delight shall be the fear of the Lord, that's Jesus. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide disputes by what his ears hear. In other words, he's not going to decide disputes like most of our judges do. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Not exactly the loving little baby Jesus in a manger. He will be judge, but he will do it with righteousness. He will do it with the justice that our hearts long for. The first week we were in this series, we talked about why is there evil. This is when that evil is done away with. He will take care of it. You just want to make sure that you're on the right side of the courtroom when he's on the judge's stand. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. That's who he will be. That is what will typify the way he rules. There will be justice. And it will not have the issue of what color your skin is, what your background is, or even what your political affiliation is. It'll only have one question. Do you follow Jesus or not? That will be the way that judge rules. That's justice. What about the problem of diseases? One of the nicknames for God, Great Physician. Look, not only can he heal your body, he heals the brokenness of our souls. He heals all illnesses. Psalm 103, 2 through 4 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. Now the question is, when does this happen? Some people think, okay, I'm going to come to Jesus. I'm never going to be sick again, right? No. There will come a day that we're not, which we'll see later on. But that doesn't happen right now. There will come a day that we're going to go, COVID what? Cancer, what was that? I forget. And we're going to look at those diseases and go, wow, that was nothing. Had no power. No diseases. Goodness, we aren't even going to have the common cold. Hallelujah. But it goes beyond just the diseases. He says, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. See, our problem of illness isn't just a physical illness. Sickness of heart, sickness of mind, sickness of our soul. And he will redeem us from that pit. He will pull us out of that and show us his love. Let me ask you something. Which is more significant? To have our wounds of a broken soul and a sick heart healed, or to cure a disease? Which is more significant? Physical sickness or spiritual sickness? Spiritual sickness. And he does both. If we can count on him to handle this spiritual, can we count on him to handle the physical as well? Yes. If he can heal the greater, he can certainly heal the lesser. What about education? Well, Jesus is wisdom incarnate. He is knowledge in the flesh. He will pour out knowledge. Isaiah 11:2 says this, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, he has a lot of words in there that we're going to be digging into next week when we dig into Proverbs. But suffice it to say that when Jesus comes, knowledge and education will not be found lacking. It will be poured out over the world. In fact, later on in this chapter, just a few verses later, it says, they shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, knowledge of the Lord is not just knowing the Lord. It's the Lord's knowledge. And he knows far more than our education system could even handle right now. And the world is going to be full of it. We think that the world has a whole bunch of information now. You just wait till then. The world is going to be full of knowledge. Education will no longer be an issue. What about the issue of population growth? Well, he's our returning deliverer. He is our returning deliverer. He is preparing a place, and there will be enough resources for all. Micah 4:4, God makes his promise to his people. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken. He's saying, you're going to have enough resources. You're going to have your own gardens. You're going to be taken care of. You are never going to be hungry again. You are going to be completely taken care of. And Jesus promises that he is preparing a place for us. Each one of us will have a home. There will not be a single homeless person in eternity. How awesome is that? In God's kingdom. In fact, he said that there's many mansions, so not only you're not homeless, you're going to have a mansion. When we were shopping for homes in Tyrone, you know that mansion on Lincoln Avenue, that one, everybody knows what I'm talking about, has the big old columns. We wanted to buy it, and my wife looked at me, and she said, and you're cleaning it? We looked at the house next to it. Same problem, lots of rooms, but by God's grace, we do have a great home at this point. But imagine this, you're going to have a perfect home, a place that's yours. What about the problem of climate change? Well, he's also the recreator. He's the recreator. Revelation 21, this beautiful promise that ties many things together. This predicts a new heaven and a new earth. This verse says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. It was never a problem again. This is totally new. This is when disease is done away with. This is when death is gone, because the new heaven and the new earth are here. This one is gone. We're worried about climate change. Yes, we need to be responsible. We are not completely freed from taking care of this earth. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, where God made us for nature and nature for us, where we are his stewards. We are to be taking care of it. But guess what? Even if the worst happens and we totally botch this thing up, he's still going to come in and give us a do-over. and one that can't be messed up. A new heaven and a new earth. What about the problem of hunger and malnutrition? God is provider. One of his names is Yahweh Yireh. He is the God who provides in the wilderness. He provided quail and manna for his people from nothing. He took care of them. And we see Jesus' heart for this in Matthew 15:32. Jesus called his disciples and said, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have had nothing to eat." His compassion on them was because they were hungry. "And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way." And this is when Andrew comes. "Hey, this kid's got his lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. I'm not sure that that's going to do anything for these people, but here it is." And Jesus takes it, and he feeds 5,000. That, by the way, is just a glimpse of what it's going to be in eternity. God does not lack for any resource. Think about this. Who created everything? God, through Jesus, as superintended by the Holy Spirit, all three of them. If God created all things, what resource could he possibly lack? None. He's the provider. What about the problem of human trafficking? That's a big one, isn't it? Human slavery exists today. Isaiah 61:1 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." And Jesus in Luke chapter 4 says, "Guys, this is me." Jesus proclaims liberty to captives. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Wherever God is, freedom reigns. There will be no more human trafficking. There will be no more slavery. We're all going to serve one master, our loving Father, God. This is all about Him. What about addictions? Anybody who has had any addiction, you know one thing about it, that it robs you of the very thing it promises to give you, that it takes away joy, that it takes away peace, that escape that it promises you, it just puts you in a different prison. But this is what Jesus says, the thieves come only to steal, kill, and destroy. Sounds like an addiction to me. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That term we use for eternal life, it's abundant life. It's not just life that goes on forever. It is life to the max. It is life to its fullest forever. In other words, you have the life. And Jesus is the one that promises it. That life that you're hungry for, that you're turning to those addictions, he has the answer. What about that last major problem? Death. I love this passage. So if I cry, please pardon me. This one's near to my heart. Because Jesus is the resurrected Savior. He has beaten death. Death is now swallowed up in victory. Where, O grave, is your victory? Where, death, is now your sting? A day is coming when the world's problems will be solved. Everything will be made new. Peace will reign. This is because of Jesus. We eagerly await his return. This is why. I heard a loud voice from the throne of heaven saying, Revelation 21 says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Let me say that again. All things new. And he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." That's a sermon in and of itself. It deserves that much, but suffice to say, all things new, death is done. There's not even mourning anymore. No crying No sorrow. I'm looking forward to that day. See, my heart is thirsty for that. Madison mentioned it this morning, the woman at the well. She was thirsty. She didn't know for what. Till Jesus shows up. And she finds out that the reason she was even at that well in the middle of the day was probably because of shame. She had had five guys before, and the one she was with, she wasn't even married to. That was a source of shame in that culture. Her soul was thirsty. And she found some sort of satisfaction in her relationship with men. But she still was not totally satisfied. Until Jesus shows up. He says, I've got eternal living water for you. And she finds that satisfaction in Him. What our souls are thirsty for is found in Jesus. What is behind this question of wanting the world to be right, it's found in Him. He alone is the one that can make it right. He is alone is the one who can solve the problems of the world. But Jesus is also the answer to the problems of the heart. I promise we will be much quicker. The problems of the world is a whole lot more dense and variegated than this, but the problems of the heart. Many of the world's problems are not just external issues, they're problems of the heart. Jesus says in Matthew 15:19, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander, on and on and on that list might go. And if the heart is the problem of the heart, we need to be changed from the inside out, because look, the world doesn't need solution to external problems. The world needs a heart change, and only God can change someone's heart. Look, I'm not calling you to change your heart this morning. I can't. It's impossible. What I am calling you is trust your heart to the only one who can change it and make it right. Because it starts with you and it starts with me this morning. Are we willing to let our heart be changed by the one who made it in the first place to make it right? The world needs a change of heart. It needs more Christ followers. People need Jesus lived out in front of them because He is the answer for the world's problems, and that starts with the core of who we are. Our deepest questions require the biggest answers and the best answers, and those come from Him. And it would change our world. This morning we have a special guest, someone that you might be familiar with. He has been part of our family before, and God has done some pretty awesome things in his life. And he actually came to me and said, Pastor, do you think maybe I could share my story with the people of your church? Because God's done something. And he told me what it was. I'm like, all right, God, you coordinated this one. Thank you. So, John Clausen, would you come and share what God has put on your heart? Some of your story.
Thank you, Pastor Aaron, and my testimony is what God has done for me. It's a three-part miracle. I was healed from COVID pneumonia, and I was anointed with healing oil and had prayers, and when I was in the hospital, I had antiviral treatment and steroids, and after 2 days of oxygen in the hospital, I started to feel better, and I started to pray. And after I got out of the hospital, the second part of the miracle was that the Holy Spirit started softening my heart, and I would, when I was talk to my wife or people in my family or other people, I would start crying. And then the third part of my miracle was that I was not comfortable talking to people before, and after this, I was comfortable talking to just about anybody. And I plan on retiring this summer and see where God is going to take me. And I've been going to churches I've been to before and sharing my testimony with pastors and people I've seen and new churches. Thank you.
Thank you, John. That's just one story. This room is full of them, of God changing. And that three-part miracle, not only does it impact us physically, it impacts us spiritually, and that shows in the third miracle of the way he changes your life. It shows up in the fruit. Christians, it should show up in our life. The problems that we experience in the world, problems of the heart are the biggest ones. But can I be honest? Even being the answer to the problems of the heart isn't the greatest news that I have. Jesus is the answer to the problems of the world. Jesus is the answer to the problems of the heart. Jesus is the answer to the problem of me. Quite often, the biggest problem is right here. The man I see in the mirror or the woman you see in the mirror, that's our biggest problem. Because of all the problems in the world, the biggest one for each of us is the same. Me. Let me just say this one. After all we have said this morning, if Jesus can handle all the big problems on a global scale, do you think he can handle yours too? He's got the world in his hands. He's got you too. We don't have a problem that he cannot heal. You know, there's this David Crowder song. It's actually a really old Puritan quotation. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. That includes me. But here's the thing. Quite often, I want God to solve the problems without changing me. Look, friend, if God is going to solve the problems, it has to include changing you, because we are part of our problem. We don't want to change God. We don't want God to change us. We want to change him. That's not the way it works. He's the one telling us what we should be, how to solve the problem. Jesus is the answer to that. Less of me, more of him. Less of me, more of him. So if you're here today and you've got problems, welcome to the club. We all do. If you're going to ask me what's my problem, I'm going to run out of time telling you. But I can tell you what the solution is. I found it. And I can't keep it to myself. That would be selfish of me. That would be arrogant of me. Please, I would love to share him with you. And Christian, can I just speak to you for a moment and get a little bit in your face? I don't do that much very often here, right? Oh, thank you. You're too kind. Christian, if Jesus is the answer to the world's problems, why don't we live like it? Why don't we treat him like it? Why do we think that it just really matters how we vote, and as long as we get that right, we're good? Or how we live, and that's good? Why do we live like I'm the answer to the world's problems? I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you and I. Like we individually are the solution to the world's problems. If everybody would just believe the way I believed, no problems. Yeah, there are some days I still disagree with myself. That doesn't work. See, they say when you talk to yourself, that's a sign of insanity. No, no, no. When you start arguing with yourself and you can actually understand both sides of the debate, that's when there's a problem. And I have it. But look, friends, if Christians, Jesus followers, believers in Christ, if Jesus is the answer, which he is, maybe we should stop pointing people to something other than him. Maybe he should be the focus. You know, there's a reason we talk about why we exist here at Grace, is to glorify God by serving our community, seeking the lost, and growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. Do you catch the focus of all that? We are just the in-betweeners. We're just connecting people to God. My God is great. Let me show you him as I become like him. That's our purpose in life. Our big question. Look, I don't have all the answers. I know the God who does. And I certainly hope I did not answer all your questions. I would love to talk with you. We have small groups here on Sunday nights where we discuss these things. Or you can reach out to me online. I would just love to talk to you. I wanted this to be the beginning of a conversation and the beginning of your journey in looking into these questions yourself. Find better answers than I did. I'm putting the gauntlet down. And tell me about them. I guarantee you there are better answers out there. I guarantee you there are more answers than the brief time that we've had together. But I'll tell you what, you will not find a better God who answers those questions. You will not find a better source. He is the answer to all of it. Friends, He provides the best answers to our biggest questions. He can handle your doubts. Because sometimes we as Christians, we think, oh, how dare I question God? How dare I ask Him those things? Or how dare you? Look, if we are coming to Him looking for the truth, I don't think God sits up there going, how dare you? Yes, child, this is why I gave you those questions, so that you would come to me and ask them. My son does this every once in a while. He'll ask a question he knows the answer to. You know what he's doing? Daddy, I want to talk. Daddy, I want a relationship. I want to connect. And me and my human stupid selfishness go, son, you already know the answer. Why are you asking? You're wasting my time. No, no, no. You just want to connect. Okay, we'll talk. God's the same way. We sing another song, You're a Good, Good Father. Yeah, that's Him. He wants you to connect to Him. That's what those questions were meant to do in the first place. Don't let them drive you away from Him. Big questions demand a big God. Would you close with me in a word of prayer? And as we close, we are going to sing a closing song, Because He Lives. Let's pray before we do that as Dave comes up. God, thank you for the gift of questions. Thank you for drawing us closer to yourself as our inquisitive minds looks at the world and knows that it is not as it should be, and we need to find an answer that is far bigger than us. Lord, may we find those answers in you. May we find the truth in the Word become flesh. In Jesus' name, amen. He who is seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. Our deepest questions find their answer in Him. Our deepest longings do too. As you go, keep asking questions. Keep thinking. Always take them to God. He has the best answers. As you go, may you go in peace.